Welcome to Right Now. I'm your host, Stacey Chadwell, coming to you live from Las Vegas.
Joining me tonight is Dr. Marshall Goldsmith, the Corporate America's Preemptive Executive Coach and the New York Times bestseller author of 28 books, including What Got You Here Won't Get You There, a Wall Street Journal number one business book. Goldsmith was a pioneer in the use of the customized 360-degree feedback as a leadership development tool. In acknowledgement of his work helping leaders change behavior, he received his first national recognition in 1993, being ranked as one of the top 10 executive educators in the Wall Street Journal. Goldsmith's work helping successful leaders achieve positive, lasting change in behavior for themselves, their people, and their teams has been featured in the New York Profile, Harvard Business Review Interview, Forbes Featured Story, and Business Strategy Review Cover Story from the London Business School. He is one of the few consultants who has been asked to work with more than 80 major CEOs and their management teams. In 2004, he was recognized by the American Management Association as one of the 50 great thinkers and business leaders who have impacted the field of management over the past 80 years. In 2005, he was elected as a fellow in the National Academy of Human Resources and recognized in Business Week as one of the most influential practitioners in the history of leadership development and an icon in the field of executive coaching. Good evening, Dr. Goldsmith. Thank you very much for joining us.
Very happy to be talking with you.
I understand that between January and February of this year, four books you either wrote or co-edited were published. Would you please share a little bit about each of these new books?
Well, one of them is the AMA Handbook of Leadership. So that's a book that I wrote with my good friend Sarah MacArthur. And that book is really, it's a broad view of leadership, and it looks at leadership from the perspective of a variety of different, what I'd consider great thought leaders, and they all talk about how they view leadership and what leadership means to them and leadership for the future. So that was one of the books that we've done. And then I did another book, of course, which we're going to be talking about today, called Mojo. And Mojo, that's about that positive spirit toward what you're doing that starts on the inside and radiates to the outside. And Mojo is a fun book. And then, of course, I did another one, which is a new book called Mojo Tweet. And that's a tweet book. And I think it's one of the first tweet books ever written. It's the entire book Mojo was translated into tweets. And then the fourth one was called Best Practices in Talent Management, How the World's Leading Corporations Manage and Develop and Retain Top Talent. And that's a best practices book. So, you know, the books are all quite different. One is an edited book, which talks about a whole bunch of different people. One talks about best practices. One is a tweet book, and one of them is the big book, Mojo.
Well, I also understand that the feed-forward tool developed by you and the extended disc team sets the tone for positive change in behavior. What is it, and how is it different from feedback?
Well, in feed-forward, we ask people not to give feedback. We say, everyone talks to as many people as they can, and you ask a question. You say, here's what I want to get better at. Please don't give me feedback about the past. Give me ideas for the future. And you get ideas for the future, the rule is you can't judge or critique the ideas. You listen to the ideas, you be quiet, you take notes, and you say thank you. I've done this exercise with thousands of people around the world, and I often do it in large groups. At the end of the exercise, I say to the group, give me one word that would describe this exercise. This exercise was, and people say positive, useful, helpful, or even fun. Then I say, well, what's the last word you think to describe any feedback activity? Fun. Then I ask people, why do people define it to be fun and positive and helpful? And they say, well, it's focused on a future you can change, not a past that you can't. There's no judging. People are open to new ideas. I get to pick what I wanted to improve. And successful people love getting ideas aimed at helping us achieve our goals, and successful people hate being judged. So in this exercise, you're getting ideas aimed at helping you achieve your goals, and at the same time, you're not being judged. So people like it.
Excellent. What a great idea. You wrote an excellent article called Why Coaching Clients Give Up and How Effective Goal Setting Can Make a Positive Difference.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mind sharing with us the key reasons why clients give up?
Well, there are a few reasons why coaching clients give up. One of the reasons coaching clients give up is it's always harder than we think. By the way, I wrote this article with my daughter, Dr. Kelly Goldsmith, who's a professor at the Northwestern University Kellogg School. So one of the reasons we give up is it's harder than I thought. It sounded simple when we started out, but this requires a lot of effort. Another one is, it takes too long. I'm not sure that it's worth it putting in all this time. The next one is ownership. People that really didn't take full responsibility, well, I wasn't sure that it would work out, so I just thought maybe it was kind of a waste of time anyway. Or another one is distractions. It's probably the most common. I really would like to work toward my goal, but we have unique challenges right now, and maybe I'll do this at a time when things aren't so crazy. And then finally, another one is rewards. You know, why am I working so hard? I didn't make any more money anyway, so why am I killing myself? And then finally, maintenance. Once we get better at something, then we want to just sort of say, well, I'm better. I've lost weight, so now I can drink some beer and eat pizza, as opposed to saying this is a lifelong process. So those are the main reasons people give up on the coaching process. It's, they didn't own it well enough, or it took more time, it's more difficult. They encountered other distractions. It wasn't associated with every reward they thought, and then they realized they have to maintain it.
Well, those are some very good points. I heard you have a key on how to stop destructive comments and gossip and other bad habits.
Well, one of the things I use is it's called using small amounts of money to create large changes in behavior. And what I do is I find people money. And if they make destructive comments, for my personal coaching clients, it's $20 each. My training clients, it's $1 each. And it's shocking how well it works. And one of the ones I use it for is for stubborn people. I say you get fined if you start a sentence with no, but, or however. So one of my clients I was reviewing his 360 feedback, and he said, but Marshall. I said, that's free. If I ever talk to you again, you start a sentence with no, but, or however, I'm going to fine you $20. He said, but Marshall. I said, 20. He said, no. I said, 40. He said, no, 60, 80, 100. He lost $420 in an hour and a half.
Oh, my goodness.
At the end of an hour and a half, what did he say? Thank you. He said, I had no idea.
What else could he say? You'd fine him.
Well, and he got so much better just learning this simple technique.
Now, I know you know this personally. So what happened when you went through the scenario?
Well, with my own scenario, the same thing. I was $10, and you know, first day cost me $50 for making destructive comments about others. I used to be sarcastic and make these little snide comments, and I started getting fined. First day was $50, second day $30, third day was $10. And do I still get fined? Yes, but have I gotten better? Much better.
What are some other ways you can alter an individual's behavior?
Well, in my coaching process, I have individuals get confidential feedback. They pick important behavior to improve. They talk with their coworkers about this behavior very openly. They ask for feed-forward ideas. They're taught to listen, to apologize for previous mistakes. Never promise to do everything, but promise to listen and do what you can. And then they follow up and get remeasured. In my coaching, I don't get paid if my clients don't get better. Better is not judged by me or them. It's judged by everyone around them.
Well, how difficult is it to change the behavior of an organization? Because now you're often dealing with quite a few people. How would you make changes to an organization to alter it?
You know, I'm really not an expert on all organizational change, so I try to restrict myself to helping individuals change or teams change.
On a personal level, what inspires you?
Well, what inspires me is trying to help people have a happier and more meaningful life. I'm 61, and I've pretty much thrown in the towel on completely saving the entire world. On the other hand, I feel like if I can help people have a happier, more meaningful lives, and the people around them have happier and more meaningful lives, well, that in and of itself will help make the world be a little better.
Well, how are you able to touch others and change their lives? I mean, you're the endless positive change information gentleman.
Well, I've got three things I do, and they're all different, and I like them all in different ways. One is executive coaching. Now, executive coaching is what I'm most famous for. My clients are CEOs or could be CEOs of multi-billion dollar companies. I have 9 clients right now that can't work with anymore. And the coaching process, number one, is where I learn everything. I learn so much from coaching. I learn far more from my clients than they learn from me. And two, it has the deepest impact because I work with people, you know, under long periods of time. Then I do teaching. Teaching is what I enjoy doing the most, you know, speaking in front of groups and teaching. That has what I'd call more of a moderate impact, but I enjoy doing it the most. I reach a moderate number of people. Then I have writing. Writing has the broadest impact, probably not as deep as coaching or teaching, but it's very broad. And in writing, I can reach, you know, millions of people. Millions of people have read something I've written before, either books or articles or blogs or something. And in my website alone, I give everything away. My website's called MarshallGoldsmithLibrary.com. And on my website, people from 195 countries had looked at something on my website, let me look it up, 4.265 million times.
What got you interested in coaching and study of behavior?
Well, I got a PhD at UCLA in organizational behavior. My undergraduate degree is in mathematical economics, which is a very different field. My PhD is in organizational behavior. I kind of burned out on mathematics and got more interested in people and psychology and got a PhD in organizational behavior. I met a very famous man named Dr. Paul Hersey, who introduced me to leadership development, executive education. I was fortunate enough to follow him around. I was on the board of the Peter Drucker Foundation for 10 years. So I've been blessed to be around some very great teachers who were, you know, the greatest thinkers in my field in our time.
Would you like to tell us a little bit more about your book?
Well, my book is called Mojo, and it's about that positive spirit toward what you're doing that starts on the inside and radiates what you're doing now, that starts from the inside and radiates to the outside. And if you look at my new book, Mojo, it talks about how we find happiness and meaning in our lives. I was just a few minutes ago talking to the CEO of the Ford Motor Company, Alan Mulally, who's a great friend of mine and a wonderful role model for everything I teach. And the leaders I work with that I think are the greatest leaders are people who, number one, they're not martyrs or victims. Number two, they're people who really are focused on enjoying themselves and at the same time making a positive difference in the world. And so the book is about how we can do that, how we can change what we can change and let go of what we can't change, make peace with what is, and create kind of a maximum positive experience. I talk about our identity, how we define ourselves as human beings, our achievement, and I look at achievement in two ways. What am I bringing to this activity and what's it bringing to me? Then I talk about our reputation, how other people see us, and then finally acceptance, how we can learn to accept what is and change what we can change, accept what we can't.
Well, I know you have one of the most important activities you say is in the daily life is to rate yourself on a few areas.
Yes.
Would you care to go into that a little bit?
Well, I do this daily question process, which is really a great idea. It helps me keep focused, and every question is 1 to 10 or a number, and first question every day is on 1 to 10 scale, how happy were you yesterday? On the same 1 to 10 scale, how meaningful was yesterday? And then I ask a lot of questions about life. How many minutes did you walk? How many push-ups did you do? How many sit-ups did you do? How much do you weigh? Did you say or do something nice for your wife or your son or your daughter? Just basic questions about life. And what's great about this process, it just helps keep me focused.
I love it. I really appreciate you taking the time to spend all this time with me and share with us about where you came from and where you're going.
Well, thank you very much. It's very nice to talk with you, and I hope you and your readers like my new book.
If you would like more information about Dr. Marshall Goldsmith, please go to thecoachexchange.name.com.
And thank you for joining us on Right Now. I'm Stacey Chabot. Have an excellent week.